discoverer and founder of Christian Science, cared deeply about her environment, thought deeply about it. Indeed, she was the first woman to discover the effect that our environment has upon us. But she discovered something even more important. She discovered that our environment is mental, and that we improve our environment by changing our thinking. It's not a change of environment that changes our thinking, but a change in our thinking that changes our environment. She discovered that. Not only did she discover it, she demonstrated it. She lived it. She realized at a very early age that we live in a mental realm or atmosphere. And when she herself was healed of a serious injury through reading the Bible, she realized that the power with which Jesus healed was still present, and she had a great thirst to discover just how this healing was accomplished. Now, her environment was not good at all at this time. She'd always been a very fragile child who had to be educated at home. Her dearest brother died at an early age. Then her mother. She had married young and her husband died, and she was left with a young child to bring up alone. She had very poor health and no money. Because of that, her child had to be taken from her and cared for by a family. Then she herself remarried, in the hope that through this marriage she would get her son back again. But that didn't work out either. Still, she went on with her quest for this truth. She had no money and no home of her own, so she knew all about false environment and suffering. Yet in spite of all this, she had this great thirst after truth and spent all of her time studying the Bible and the healing works of Jesus until she discovered the science by which he healed. Then she dedicated the rest of her life founding this Christ science on the words and works of our beloved Master, Christ Jesus. It always interests me to read what she says of herself in Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures. She says, in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science or divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. God had been graciously preparing me during many years for the reception of this final revelation of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing. I love the way she says God had been graciously preparing me. She didn't give us a whole list of all the troubles that she'd had or the things that she had to contend with or face up to. She said God had graciously been preparing her. Doesn't that tell us a lot about that woman, about her humility, her dignity, her faith in God? I think it says everything about her in that little paragraph. She wrote the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures. And by the way, if anyone here today would like a copy, they can have a free copy afterwards to take home. Any of the ushers will be very happy to help them. She wrote many other books. She founded her own church, which is worldwide, her own publishing society, and in her 87th year, she gave the world the Christian Science Monitor, a daily newspaper, because she cared about her environment. She did not like what the media were reporting, and she saw that we needed a better newspaper who would report fairly and would also, in their reporting, give us a way, lead us as to how to pray about the situations in our world. The Christian Science Monitor is still with us as a daily paper in America, and here in Britain we have, and in Europe, the weekly international paper. In America we also have Monitor Radio and Monitor Television, which are going out and doing a wonderful job. So these are proofs of her care for her environment. Of course, our environment does not begin and end simply with people, places, events, and circumstances. We have the wider environment of nature, the plants, the flowers, the trees, rivers, sky, and sea, that sometimes we seem to be too worried by our problems or too busy to even enjoy. And today the world has become more than ever conscious of our environment because of the destruction to our earth. It's making us more environmentally conscious, and that's a good thing. We ought to be. We ought to know that our Father, who made us, made every blade of grass and loves it, made the trees and loves them and cares for them. And when we pray with our Father, with the Lord's Prayer, we should include all nature in it. This is the way to cleanse our environment. Then when we do that, easier ways will open up for people to know how to handle these difficulties. There is nowhere that God's tender love does not reach or embrace. We can help dissolve the layers of materialism that pollute and destroy our earth. This was brought home to me about just over 5 years ago. My family and I had just moved to a new house. Now, this house hadn't been lived in for many years. It needed a lot doing to it. We bought the house because it was a house that we could afford. But on the day that we moved in, it was snowing. The house was full of workmen. The whole house was being rewired. We were having central heating put in and a new kitchen. All the floorboards were up. There was no heating, no lighting. We didn't even have a cooker. When the furniture men came, there was hardly a place to set the furniture. In the middle of all this commotion, when I was beginning to think I'd taken on too much and made a terrible mistake in moving to this house, one of my sons was looking out the window, and he said to me, "Mom, what are we going to do about the garden?" Well, I said, Paul, the garden is the least of my problems right now. I'm trying to sort out in here. He said, well, if you don't do something pretty soon, he said, it'll soon be the spring, you won't have a garden for the summer. Have you seen the state of this garden, he said? It was all overgrown. It was a semi-detached house, and the fence between us and the people next door had fallen down. The hedges were all falling out, and the grass was up to my waist. I said, yes, I have seen the garden. That's why I'm concentrating on in here. But as the day went on, I began to think, now, just a minute, Myrtle, sort this out. You are supposed to be praying to know that God is taking care of you and yours, of your family, of this situation, of everything that's going on in this household and everything that has to be done. Well, do you think that God's loving care stops at your front door? Because if you do, you know, you're limiting God. Do you think God doesn't love the garden? And is God's work not finished? Is his plan not perfect and complete? So I said, all right, God, I'll accept that. Your plan is perfect and complete. And the love that cares for me and mine and the children in this house will also care for the garden. So I decided to drop it. But you know, God's timing and ours are never the same. About 15 minutes later, the door knocked, and I went out, and there were my two young neighbors. And they had a lovely canister of tea, and they said, we brought this to welcome you to our neighborhood. We're so delighted to have a neighbor, because we've lived here so many years, and no one has lived in that house. So I brought them into all the chaos and showed them what was going on and said, I hope we're not too much of a nuisance. And they said, what are you going to do about the garden? And I thought, Father, would you just get off my back? Because this is too soon. So I said, well, we're thinking about it. Well, they said, you'd need to think pretty soon because you'll have no garden for the summer. I said, I know, my son's just been telling me all that. They said, well, look, we are both lecturers at a local college, and we have 2 weeks off for Easter. So as a housewarming gift, we wondered, would you like us to do your garden? Well, I couldn't believe it. Show you how good a prayer I am. I prayed, and when the answer came, I couldn't believe it. So they were very keen on gardening. So I said I would be delighted. We went out to the front door, and they said, what are you going to do about this old fence? And I said, well, as our gardens aren't very big, it might be nice if we didn't have a fence. And we had a nice sense of oneness. Well, they jumped up and down in delight, and they said, we hoped that somebody would say that. So the next morning, 8 a.m., they were on my doorstep with their shovels and their spades. We ordered a large skip to take away all the rubbish, and my son and I went out to help them to clear out the garden. Now, they were clearing away the old hedges and the old fences and so forth, but I noticed that my young neighbor had taken out an old rose tree and thrown it on top of this skip. Now, I have a soft spot for roses, so I went and took this rose tree off the skip. And it looked completely dead, and it was full of weeds, and all choked up with grass. and I began to clean it out. When my neighbor said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm cleaning out this rose tree and going to plant it." He said, "You don't want that old thing in your garden. That would spoil your nice garden." And I said, "Well, I like roses." But there was something else at the back of my mind. I had been asked to pray for a woman who was suffering from old age. Nothing but old age. She had taken to her bed and decided to give up. She said she felt she was a nuisance to her family, that nobody wanted her, and she had decided to give up. Now, at first, I went along with this, and I was thinking, well, she's a good age, she's had a good inning. But I began to see there's no healing in that, and I don't think that's the way to pray. What right have I, or she, or anybody, to decide